And so I've switched to a wired headset because I didn't like how the wireless kept cutting out. And now I'm running over my wired headset while I'm hitting the computer. So if I could change all those, I would do that.
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What up, everybody? Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, special live edition episode. We're here with Chi.
Hello.
Emilio.
Hi.
Chad.
What up, boys and girls?
And myself, Bobby. This is the first episode that we are doing live on Discord. Got a couple listeners listening live, which I assume means that they will not be listening to the podcast when it comes out.
That's a smart move.
Yeah.
But still download it, guys, because we need more than 10.
Well, at least check out the quality difference. I'm sure we don't sound as silky smooth through
and we might have pauses
Discord
maybe.
Than we do through the microphones.
Yeah,
it's possible. All right, so so we're doing the Discord thing.
Might actually answer some questions on here. So if we continue to do this and you are interested in having a little bit of dialogue on the podcast, you know, you might have the opportunity if you're on our Discord. And you can get to it from our Steam channel, our Steam page.
Mm-hmm. DLGaming.net, and then click on the Steam link. This is our three-year anniversary. Three years ago, almost to the day, is when we released our very first episode ever. Don't go back and listen to it.
Is that even available to listen to?
No. How many people were on that podcast? All three of you?
Two.
No, it was just me and Emilio back in the day.
So you can imagine how bad that was.
How much later did Chad come on?
I think in January or February, like two or three months after.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm the newbie.
Yep.
I started April or March of this year.
Something like that. Yeah.
If it wasn't today, I have no clue.
Yeah.
It'd be about 9 months that I've been a part of DLG. Congratulations, guys.
Yeah.
Have you come a long way?
Yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah.
And somehow we had more listeners the day we started than now.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works out.
We went from 13 to 12. No, yeah. We're not. That's a joke. But are we going to talk about this or are we saving that for later?
Talk about what?
We had talked about maybe our favorite moments.
Yeah, so my favorite moment was actually off mic, unfortunately. Well, no, we have a recording of it, but it wasn't during one of the episodes. Chad started talking about some ridiculous Chinese or Japanese game, but he sounded really serious about it. He was like, Bobby, I need you to look up Doki, like artichoke or something. I started laughing so hard. It broke my brain. I was crying laughing. I was on like my hands and knees. And there's a video, it is a video of me laughing for probably 5 minutes straight.
Oh my goodness.
So that was probably my favorite. But unfortunately, it wasn't on one of the. Well, no, it would have made a terrible podcast. Just some fucking fool with a broken brain.
You know
what's
really funny about that story is that's not how it happened. You were laughing about that on a completely different occasion.
Oh, that's right.
You were laughing about something Chad said about.
Yeah, rape on a plane.
Yes, raping someone on a plane.
Oh my gosh, that is so awful.
Well, that's a good story.
We had a long discussion because this is when we were starting to talk about putting little clips at the beginning of the show, like the funniest part of the show. Yeah. And they wanted to do something about rape on a plane. And I'm just like, no, we're not rape joke right up front.
But it was in the episode. It was just not at the front.
Yeah, it was in the episode, but you can't lead off.
I mean, obviously, Emilio loved it. So all the other listeners.
We're
bound to catch fire with the.
That was a good. That was fun.
Those were fun times.
Yeah. Personally, for me, I kind of just appreciated how the podcast has progressed. You know, it started off very small, and we've kind of added bits and pieces to it, added listeners, and added new things to it. And you know, as it continues to grow, my funniest, probably just some of the funny moments when we were in the. AM Studios. That was just crazy because we were so packed in there and it was so hot and all, and it was just like we would go delirious for sometimes, and it was just some of the funniest parts were in the AM Studios.
Yeah, I felt like we were going places because like we actually had a workspace, you know, that wasn't somebody's house, and
But I mean, this is
this is better.
Doubles as a porn studio too.
Yeah.
We moved on. We moved up from someone's house to someone's garage. I didn't have it. I didn't prepare anything for a favorite moment. I don't know. There's been some good times. I'll think about it. And if
how about when Amelio did all the sound effects for the guys in Smite?
Nah, that never happened.
That's a good one.
We have all this unreleased DL Gaming content that we got to put.
Will
out
never
there.
Be released.
Yeah, I don't think I have a very favorite moment, but I do have many moments that I appreciate. A big part of it is not actually during the podcast and recording, but everything outside of it. For instance, how we first met,
yeah.
It was all at my bar. I was taking shots of whiskey and Jameson and Fireball and, mixed together. We called it the Tinder in the bathroom of my bar with Sam. And it's because of her, I found out these boys were, podcasters, PC gaming podcasters. And that was fun. And then, of course, outside when we were playing our co-op games, that's a lot of, like, you know, just getting ready to have material to talk about. I appreciate all that, too. So I'm glad that you guys picked me up, really. So glad to be a part of the now.
Glad you're here.
Yeah, three years going strong. DLG.
Yeah.
And this is also going to be our last episode.
All right, we got to get into some games, or do we have anything else we got to mention before that?
Yeah.
So, shout out to Pharaoh Steve. He's our newest Patreon. He now gets all the fantastic swag that comes with that.
Yep.
Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, so Colin Lotion actually talked to me this week, and he's like, hey, I've got an idea for a game. And he pitched me the idea, and I said, okay, I can run with that. So this is going to be a very short game. There's only going to be probably five questions.
Oh, game on the... Okay. So, I think you meant a video game.
No. This is just a little intro game.
Okay.
Oh.
So everybody knows the Konami code,
yep.
Right? So he hit me up with a code. He said, do you know what this code means? IDDQD.
Yeah, it's from Doom.
Okay. He's like, yeah, it's from Doom. Mm. See if they can get some of these other ones.
Okay.
So I've got just a couple of these. I got them from various sources, but here's a kind of easier one. The code was Justin Bailey.
Oh, I know that one. That's Metroid.
Yeah.
And that would, I think, it gave you a bunch of shit, I think.
Nope.
Or it got you to the end of the game?
It got you.
Konami code?
Oh, yeah, you played it with her helmet.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right.
Oh,
yeah, that's
right,
the command.
Right.
You play it with your head off?
Or nope. You
off?
Get bikini clad Samus.
Oh.
Obviously, there was one called Zelda. If you did Legend of Zelda Second Quest, you got the second quest for it. But here's the next one. This one's a little bit harder. It's you go to T-Hawk, you hold up for 3 seconds, press left, highlight Guile, go down for 3 seconds, press
Evil
down.
Evil Ryu.
Yes.
Yeah.
No way!
It's Akuma, but Evil back then they didn't know.
I was going to say, wasn't that Akuma?
That they didn't know Akuma back then, so it was Evil Ryu. But that's on Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Yep. I'll go for one more, and let's see if you can get this. The code is ABACABB.
What had C's on it?
That's a good question. What did have C's on it?
Sega Genesis.
The Sega Genesis.
Is it Altered Beast?
No. But you're kind of in the right vein. It is the code of honor. Does that mean anything for you guys?
No.
So ABACABB on a Genesis controller unlocked the blood in Mortal Kombat. Because back then,
that
was before ESRB.
Yeah.
So you guys did fairly well. You missed one.
It's the first game I've ever won against Bobby. I think ever.
And you guys all chipped in. So that
they're all pretty old school controller games. Like, well, I remember the first.
It doesn't exist anymore.
It's not console Konami commands. Code, but I remember console commands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my very first being the StarCraft ones, you know, Black Sheep Wall, Power Overwhelming. Like those are phrases I'll never forget. And for like The Sims, Rosebud gives you the fat money, the fat loot.
Rosebud.
Yeah, Rosebud.
See, I was trying to find PC
ones?
Codes, and they're so much harder to find.
Because
codes.
What?
Because cheat codes are kind of like a console thing.
Yeah.
Like we just fuck with the code, you know? Yeah. Like the PC gamers just, you type in console commands or
There's
something
a mod
like
for that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I
tried to, guys, but I was having a difficult...
That was fun for me since I knew it somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We always have a last week's errors and shit. So this week, I was a little more active on Discord. Shout out to all my peeps on Discord. And they came up with some things that... So they were talking about how, like, a lot of times while they're listening to the podcast, they're just shouting out right. corrections. And so they started going through some of the corrections from last episode. So Clown Lotion mentioned there was that zombie game isometric that we were talking about, like turn-based. You start in that thing, and you didn't know if it was a zombie game or whatever.
Yes, Neo Scavenger.
Yep, right. That's called Neo Scavenger. Fastidious asked us, why are we assembling the PC on the stove? We mentioned a little bit on the episode, but it's actually because Bobby's living room is pretty dark, and so the only bright spot in the living room was underneath the stove where the light under the microwave was. So that's why we were there. And then finally, Figsack mentioned that there was a game or a movie that we were talking about called Man vs. Snake. We never actually mentioned the name, but
it was a Netflix documentary I was trying to remember the name of, and it eluded me. But I did watch that this week, so I'll talk more about that later.
Oh, you got that in the show notes?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect.
Cool. So Games on the Radar, Gigantic. I thought I had heard that this was got squashed, or that they didn't have the funding or whatever, but I guess that's not the case.
I'm still getting emails from them, and I just read on IGN that it's going open beta in this week.
Cool.
So
you played it, right?
I played it way back in the day when it was closed beta. I played it, and I couldn't talk about it on the show because it was all closed. Yeah.
Do you know if it's still...
I haven't played it recently. I hope to have some time to go back and play it this week, but I'll talk a little bit about highlights on lowlights. Why that
kind of smitey, if I remember right.
So it's 5v5, but they have this kind of monster that are going at each other, and you kind of help your monster defeat the
like
other
a
monster.
Giant monster, not yeah. like a little
it's almost
monster.
Like Dota Heroes.
I haven't played Dota Heroes, but if that's the similar,
I imagine.
Is that like you're helping one NPC across?
I never played it, but from what I was able to peek over my friend's shoulders, like, of course they would have like the giant maybe I thought that the giant hero and like the little minions, maybe not quite. If there's some type of Dota,
well, Paladins I think has something similar to this where you have one team trying to lead another a big thing to the base,
to their base, right?
Yeah,
and I think the thing can attack and stuff because it's similar to a payload. I think Paladins had one like that's similar to a payload, but it's actually a thing that you can attack.
It's really interesting. Like the two monsters will fight, and then one will get wounded and kind of like fall over and show its weak point.
Yeah.
And then you jump in and you try to like do as much damage to it as you can.
Heroes of the Storm also has that, you know, one level where they have the two guys. What is it called, Bobby? The level with the two guys fighting in the middle?
Oh, the Punishers, that was a brawl mode that they had. But
No. The one on the level where it's the Diablo level.
The Immortals.
Yeah, the Immortals.
Battlefield of Eternity.
Yeah, Battlefield, yeah. So anyways, it's a free-to-play game, I believe. So I think you can sign up to just get it on open beta when it comes out. I think it's at gogigantic.com. So if you're interested in it's a MOBA-esque game.
I had fun.
It's been so long in development, though.
There was something that happened, and I can't remember what it was, but there was something that happened with, I think, Microsoft, where it really, really put a hold on the production of that game. But yeah, it's been a while. It was one of those games that we were kind of waiting for and then never really showed up. Well, Battleborn and all those other ones.
Hopefully they make a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Maybe it's good that they're coming last in that big wave that we got.
Yeah, but I feel like... If you come last, you have to beat whatever's in front of you.
Because,
it's been so long in development, you know.
I mean, that's similar that's similar to Paladins, but somebody told me we kind of ragged on Paladins a little bit, saying it was like almost identical to Overwatch, but somebody said it's been changed a lot, so I might have to go back.
With another look.
Yeah, I might have to go back and give Paladins another go.
And what are you going to do that on, Chad?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the big story, and then I can talk about my build.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry, I was skipping.
Yeah.
So I watched the game. Can you bring up a list, Bobby, of the what got what?
Tell them your confusion, because I thought that was hilarious.
So I thought it was the Steam Awards, because the link was in Steam. It's like, it's starting now. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be like half an hour. They're going to go through those five things, and then that'll be it. So, but then I go on and it's the actual official Steam Awards.
Not Steam Awards.
I mean,
see, Video Game Awards.
Yeah, the Video Game Awards. Yeah.
Well, I've had before.
Hosted by, what's that guy's name? Jeff something?
Jeff Kiley.
Jeff Kiley, who, by the way, like, well spoken, you know, usually, and he also pays for the thing. So the guy pays for the thing. He's hosting the thing, I'm sure, to save some money. And he's the brains behind the operation. Usually you don't get all those things in one person.
Yeah.
So, man, that's a lot of pressure riding on you. And they pulled it off for the most part. The only part I didn't like were the musical segments. They seemed out of place, except for maybe the Doom one. That would have been, it kind of had some bass to be there. They were live playing some of the Doom music. But the other one, first guys were fucking awful. Everybody was agreeing that it was terrible, and the last guys were okay. But why do you? I don't think we need music. I think,
well, the one that last year they had Imagine Dragons, right?
Yeah,
and when they came on there, the lead singer was like, you know, what's up, guys? I'm really into video games too. I play a lot of League or whatever. I don't know. He obviously was a little more articulate than that, but
yeah,
he kind of prefaced it like, hey, there's a reason I'm here. You know, I enjoy video games, but it does seem kind of awkward to have Run the Jewels. It's almost like watching Saturday Night Live. Like the musical act, it's just like, you skip over that part. Nobody
it's usually
cares.
Like them getting ready for the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. Costume music. Change. Yeah.
Before we go further, Beirut, one of our listeners on Discord, he mentioned, he's been playing Gigantic, and he said it's like Smite, but less glued to the ground. So imagine if Smite characters had that could jump and move in the air around faster, more like an action game. Mm-hmm. Does that interest you guys?
I liked it the first time.
I'm set on MOBAs. I'd try it out, but I can't imagine myself getting too into any other game like that.
It was a lot like that one where we were running around with little robots, Bobby, and you came in and just wrecked shop, just took over the whole game.
Oh, is that the one where...
Minimum?
Minimum.
Can we play... What was the... Paragon. We all played together not too long ago, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but that's third person. This one is... Is this third person also?
I think it's third person. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it might be also.
There's so many. Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so back to the Game Awards. So I don't know if they had the music parts in there because they couldn't get all the people for the awards, because they only... As far as like having somebody come up, they only did half of the awards. The other half were just like,
and
best RPG went to, and then there's like no fanfare.
Oh, by the way, they missed a whole whole category. It was best fan made creation, and it was actually Enderall that won.
I still haven't
and they
that.
They didn't even mention it.
Huh. They've done that in the past though, because this is a live production. They have to change things based on the time that they have. And they kept the show pretty tight this year. But like previous years, there are just so many advertisements, like so, so many advertisements. And they do unveil a lot of new trailers, which is kind of cool, but the ads were just driving me nuts.
Well, that's how they do the thing.
I was saying,
right?
Those like built-in ads, I prefer over going to commercial break. And where you're watching things for Metamucil.
What was the award shows that came out recently? And every award was sponsored by something.
Oh yeah, the fucking
game of the year sponsored by the Sun or whatever.
Oh god,
yeah, it's crazy. All right, let's go through some of these. What won?
Game of the year, obviously. I mean, that's going to be Overwatch, right? Yeah.
I was a little surprised there, and people keep shooting me down. But I was surprised Titanfall 2 was even nominated for Game of the Year. It's such a new game, and the fan reception has been mixed and all. I was just really surprised. Like, this is a full year. Like, hasn't there been other ones that...
The rule was it had to have been a game made or released before November 27th. So the deadline is right there. So I don't know. It's so hard to compare this to movies, right? Because with movies and Oscar season... it doesn't take that long to watch a movie, but to play a game, especially like The Witcher 3, which I think came out later in the year, that is a very big game. Mm-hmm. And you can play, you know, 100 hours of that game. And are you able to do that in time and get a good grasp of it? I did notice when I looked at the people who were voting on these, PC Gamer was not there. And in years past, they had been there. They had been one of the people on the panel.
Mm. Then one of the things that was suggested to me is maybe Titanfall 2 was there. More of a nod towards
EA.
Xbox.
Or,
no, towards Xbox, because they have Uncharted 4, which is a PC exclusive, and the rest of them are like kind of...
Wait, Uncharted 4 is a PC exclusive?
I mean a PS4 exclusive, sorry.
Oh, okay.
My bad. So they have a PS4 exclusive and a bunch of PC games, and they didn't really have anything that was Xbox tinted, and so maybe people are suggesting that maybe Titanfall 2 kind of fills that role.
Have the reviews been mixed?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of that.
I don't know. I feel like that game is being talked about everywhere, but just nobody I know is playing it. They talk about it constantly on the PC Gamer podcast. Oh, yeah, you're playing it. But people are going off about the single-player campaign, which is not what I think of when I think of Titanfall. But I don't know. Maybe there's something to there.
Yeah, and like I said, I keep getting shot down. Festidius on Discord is shooting me down again. And so maybe
90% on Titanfall.
And maybe if I play it.
Like we can get corrected in real time.
Yeah. Maybe once I play it. I'll be like, yeah, I see how this is game of the year.
Has any one of us actually played Titanfall 2?
No, he doesn't
get to it.
Yeah, he's played a bunch.
Yeah. But in general, I mean, before we go down the list here, in general, my thoughts on the Game Awards this year. First of all, way back in the day, there was the Spike Game Awards. Did you guys ever watch those?
That's the one I watched, and I thought this was going to be the same thing.
No.
But it's the same.
That was wild.
Didn't that merge into this?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you the history of the Game
Break
Awards.
It down for us, Bobby.
Spike was ridiculous.
Yeah, back in the day when Spike, it was always Samuel L. Jackson hosting it, and it was just a fucking free-for-all.
It really was.
Pandering, just like a bunch of bullshit. They would have like some guy dressed up as a soldier come out on stage and like teabag somebody, and it was just like stupid, goofy shit like that.
Like pandering to 12-year-olds.
Yeah, to like the younger demographic. So then on 2013, they decided to let it. Well, I think Jeff Kiley had a lot to do with this. They wanted to take the Game Awards in a more serious direction and have it be more of a respectful thing with a little more gravitas, you know. So they did this thing, and 2013 was a disaster for the Game Awards. They did this thing where they were filming live in like a studio. Joe McHale was co-hosting, and he was just sabotaging the thing left and right, trying to be like snide and witty, and it just made for a very awkward show. Go online and YouTube 2013 Game Awards, and you'll see all the best hits of Joe McHale and his cringiness.
Oh, but man.
It was terrible. And that was like, people were like, what the fuck is this? And then 2014 comes around and they completely redo it. It looks kind of like the Oscars or something a little more high class, I guess. And they've been continuing with that format for the last 3 years, 2014, 2015, 2016. And it's been a big improvement, but I don't know. There's still some things that I kind of have a problem with. The nonstop advertising, I understand that's how this gets paid for, but it does draw away from the awards. Although this year, I was really happy they paid more attention to the Games for Impact Award, which in prior years, they're just like, oh yeah, Games for Impact goes to this, and moving on. And like, they didn't explain what it was. They still kind of had a problem this year, not really explaining. Like, the next category we have is Best Game Direction. You know, well, what exactly do you mean by that?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe for me, Best Game Direction, maybe it's like, how innovative and the path that they're taking gamers, or how long this game is, or like the path of this one's game.
Perhaps. Well, yeah, no, and that's a good.
Yeah, that's. I didn't even thought about that, but you might have hit it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think it means like the director, because they would have said best director, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's what you guys were assuming.
Well, I'm just using this as an example. All their categories aren't very well explained. I mean, best game of the year, you know, like that's a little self-explanatory. But, you know, Games for Impact, best art direction, game direction, you know, those kind of things. I feel like there could have been a little more explanation as to what the category was about.
For
and
sure.
Also why the winner won. Because there are a few games that, you know, the game won, but they're just like, and congratulations, guy comes up, gives a speech. But it's like, you know, okay, well, tell me, I didn't play that game. What's so special about it? You know, why did that win? I feel like there could have been a little bit more of that. And did you guys see the Games for Impact one? The winner was, we'll skip ahead, I guess, to that one. The winner was That Dragon Cancer, which I bought after that because I'm like, I really want to check that out. The guy comes up, gives a real, you know,
I think
tearful
everybody
speech.
Caught the feels on that one.
Yeah, it was the most emotional part of the show.
Yeah, for sure.
But when the people announced it, they're just like, all right, and the winner is That Dragon Cancer. I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, my.
And then the dude comes up, like, tears in his eyes and gives this heartfelt speech. And, like, the presenters are in the back, like, with these big, stupid grins on their face. I'm just like, this is awkward. I don't know.
But what are you going to do, though? You're presenting something. You can't present it shitty. I don't know.
A little more serious, but I don't know. So, best game direction, the winner for that, Overwatch, or Blizzard for Overwatch.
I think that's funny because, like, Overwatch basically is
an amalgamation of their other games.
Of rejects. So, basically, like, they won a thing for best direction when they were kind of directionless, and they.
Oh, you mean the death of Titan?
Yeah, and all that stuff. So, but I don't know. Overwatch was kind of the big winner of the night. Obviously, they got Game of the Year, and it's kind of.
I can dig that. I mean, I could see it go to any one of those games.
Yeah, but what I found interesting is Overwatch doesn't have any single player campaign. It's all competitive co-op. It's not story driven at all as far as in game is concerned. Yeah. And they do a lot of stuff outside that drives the story, but it's just interesting.
Well, regardless of having the story, they have a lot of depth to their characters, where a lot of games are extremely lacking other than a name and a title.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that for like Call of Duty games and whatnot, other than the protagonist and, you know, or like even, I know Halo had some strong characters in it too, but this one's really nice because, you know, it's kind of becoming of the characters and knowing basically their backstory, and it's slowly unraveling. That's like a story, but
yeah, the pacing
pace
of
by
it,
pace. Yeah, no, like bit by
pretty
bit.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I'm super excited whenever I see one of those trailers pop up. I'm like, yes, I got to watch that. Like, I don't even delay a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right, best narrative. The winner is Uncharted 4, A Thief's End.
It's a PS4 title, so.
Yeah, so obviously none of us have played it. But, you know, the Uncharted series is well-established and highly respected. I'm not surprised that it won.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of these nominees kind of put some games on the radar for me. Like, I was aware of them, but the fact that they were being nominated kind of made me want to play them. I did buy a few games on the Steam sale while this was happening, too. But Firewatch was on there, Oxenfree. Which
one was that one?
I haven't played it.
Oxenfree's, we had talked about it before.
Yeah, we talked about it when it came out, and we were like, anyone interested? And nobody really was excited about it. But it's like a side-scroller, I think 2.5D horror game or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Do you have it, Bobby?
It's just a terrible name. I'm sorry. It's a terrible name.
It doesn't make me want to just ruin a game.
It doesn't make me want to play this fucking game.
Well, wasn't there a term like
Ollie Oxenfree?
Ollie Ollie Oxenfree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
It means that I'm safe or something in like schoolyard games.
Yeah.
That's all right. It.
Best art direction. Winner was Inside.
How many guys have actually played Inside, by the way?
I think Emilio is the only one that has.
Sam played it. I watched it.
Do you have it on your Steam account? Uh-huh.
Inside, oh. Is it that the darker color
just
game?
Like, okay.
It's Limbo.
Limbo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same company, too, right?
Yeah, very similar. Yeah.
And I would totally check this game out. It was on sale for $15, but I hear it's a 2-hour, 3-hour game.
Yeah, probably 2 to 3 hours. Yeah.
And I don't know. It's hard for me. That shouldn't be an obstacle
play it
for
off
me.
My account.
Yeah, maybe I will.
All right, what else we got?
No, he won't, by the way.
We'll see how cheap it gets on the Christmas.
Maybe I will means Bobby's not.
Yeah.
I don't think
he's ever played a game.
That's an outright no.
I had Darkest
Bobby.
Dungeon I played off of your account.
Oh, and then you bought it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so best music and sound design. I can't agree more. Doom was.
Yeah.
If you want, somewhere there's an audio clip of me trying to do an impression of what they do in this game, how it ramps up while you remember, and then you use it as a sound.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking awesome. You get so amped up.
Yeah. I didn't play, and I still agree with you because I looked over your shoulder sometimes when you played it, and for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad Doom got something because that was a really good game. I go back and I play parts of it here and there, but I have still yet to complete it. But I don't know. That was just such a polished experience.
Yeah.
Best performance. The winner is...
He wins every time.
No, Troy Baker cleaned up last year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's between those two.
I'm getting them confused.
Who's Troy Baker?
He's the other one that is in everything.
Yeah, what is he most famous for? Probably the zombie one?
Troy Baker? Mushrooms? Well, he did Batman for one. Yeah, The Last of Us. He played Batman in Arkham, one of the Arkhams.
Oh,
the
he's
not
really
good,
good
one. Or the one that nobody liked. But he's done a ton of things. Troy Baker was in Bioshock Infinite. He was the main character in that.
You guys think that...
He's actually... On the nominee list.
Yeah, they're on the same game, even.
Well, there's three nominees from Uncharted, so apparently somebody there really liked the acting, directing, the direction the acting went on.
People
Uncharted
just love
4.
This game. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is a game that I should watch, like the movie of?
No, you should play it.
I thought
it.
You did, didn't you? Number three.
Why don't you sit down and play it? I own the game. Sit down and play the game. Jesus Christ.
Well,
you're using more controller now.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not an excuse
not
anymore.
Not that controller, though.
It's the same thing. Just fucking play it.
Do you want your
it.
Controller back?
Do you want yours?
a little bit, it looks like.
It's like, when you really, really need it, let me know.
All right, so moving on. Games for Impact. Winner was that Dragon Cancer. All right. Kid dies of cancer. Let's come on up. Get an award. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did buy that game. And there's also a movie that's called Thank You for Playing, and I purchased that with the bundle. So I'm excited to get into that. I also got 1979 Revolution, which was nominated, and it's a game about Iran in the 70s. And it looked, I don't know, it looked like a Telltale game. It had that kind of animation. I heard it was very short, but I don't know. I don't know why that appealed to me. Did you guys never saw that cartoon? There was a comic book about a woman who grew up in Iran around this same time and just talked about her personal life and all the shit that was going on during that time. It was a really interesting story, but that kind of influenced my decision in purchasing that game. Can't remember what it was. Persepolis.
All those games, the only one I knew was that Dragon Cancer. So apparently it did not impact my gaming life, any of these. So, but yeah, that was cool though. His speech at the end there, that was
best impact. You watched it, John?
Yeah. So, some of it.
Best impact independent game went to Inside. Again, it's a great game.
Stardew Valley though was nominated. I'm a little surprised they didn't win because that is really an independent game, right? One developer sitting at home.
That's true. Yeah. He should get extra points for that, right?
I mean, I probably would have given it to him.
Yeah. The Witness, that was their first game out, right?
No, yeah, it was what's his name's?
Braid.
Jonathan Blows.
Oh, yeah, but it's a new production or a company, I thought.
Yeah, but can you like have somebody that's famous in the gaming community and starts a company and then it's considered an independent game?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
When Lawbreakers comes out, is that going to be considered an independent game?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. We need, like Bobby said, we need better ideas of what the categories actually mean.
Yeah. Best mobile and handheld goes to Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Bobby, did you pick it up?
Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
Did I pick it up?
Sorry, I was thinking of what do you call it? The other Go games.
Oh, Hitman.
Hitman Go.
Pokemon Go. You move your little Pokemon around and try to kill people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Didn't we all?
That was a good one.
So we all downloaded Pokemon Go, right, and played it and tried it out.
Yeah, I think it's free to play.
Yeah, I think everybody did, but I didn't. I hardly played any of it.
What was the highest level we all got to? Oh,
I think I got 5 or 6.
I think I got to level 2 or 3.
Yeah,
I don't think I played. I downloaded it and then
install?
I didn't. Even play
but you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of those games that it hit this like hype moment, and then they didn't have anything to back it up. You just did the same thing, so then people just started falling off.
Could you
off
have
of it.
Anticipated though how big world it was going to be? That game.
Yeah.
Was?
No, I will agree with them that for that year, Pokemon Go, as far as a mobile game, moved the meter more than anything else did.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you give an award for, though? Because when other things win awards, like a movie wins an award, a lot of time those are films that people have never even seen. A very small amount of people have even... I don't know. That's too big of a conversation. Let's not get into that. Best VR game.
Ooh.
So this is... I think this is the first year they had this category.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, for sure.
What is Res Infinite? Anybody know?
I don't know.
Yes...
I'm kind of thinking, what's that game that has 4 dimensions and you turn it? Fez?
Oh, Fez, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that has anything
to do
with it. No.
Oh, Rez. Yeah, this is an old PlayStation title.
Yeah.
And they must have converted it over to VR. That's amazing. I don't know too much about it.
Doesn't look very detailed. I'm sure it must be really fun.
It's a PS4 only game, immersive. So none of us have really played it.
I've seen it and I've sold it, but I've never actually played it. It seems really chill.
Yeah.
Is
it rhythm-based or something like that?
I'm not 100% certain.
There was one that was like rhythm-based.
What's really uncanny, for some reason VR came up recently in conversation, and I told someone that I tried it out where they never had, and they asked me, you know, what's so great about it. I talked about at least my favorite game that I tried on it, and it was that space one where I felt like I was just confined in this, like, you know, and like...
Oh, is that the one where
infinite? Yeah, where I felt like I was in an infinite space area.
Yeah.
And that's probably the biggest appeal to Res, where it's like free, you know, free flow and trippy, literally. Yeah. It's like, where are my drugs? I need them.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
It's like, turn up the you know, electronic music. I'm in a whole new world now.
I forget what the ocean one's called. Where you're under, that one's so psychedelic, and there's like bioluminescent animals all around you, and they light up.
Oh, the one with the big whale that comes by?
Yeah, yeah, but it's not the same sequence. It's a different sequence.
I forget that one.
It's straight up a mushroom trip. You won't even have to take mushrooms pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that I need to take mushrooms.
But he wants to.
Hell yeah. If you got anybody, let me know.
Kick him this way. All right, what's up next?
Best action game, Doom.
Yep, okay. Can go with that.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, I can see that. Now, other nominees, Gears of War 4, Overwatch was up there.
Titanfall 2, yeah, Battlefield 1. Battlefield 1, we got kind of shit on in this, huh? They didn't win a whole lot. They got nominated for some, but didn't win anything.
They did have some, I'm sure we'll get to these, but they did have some crowd picked games that weren't picked by the panel. They're people voted on them. They had some categories for that. I feel like Battlefield 1 would have won something had it been up to.
I'm sure it was more people. Second place in everything that it was.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Okay, best action adventure game, Dishonored 2.
Wow, that one just came out.
I haven't played
too.
That one.
Yeah, that one. How do you? I must have just made it under the wire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it looks like there's not many PC other than that and
Hitman.
Hitman came out on PC, but that I feel like was obviously built for consoles.
Hyper Light Drifter, we played that game though.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going. What else we got?
Let's keep going.
Best RPG, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Is this allowed a DLC?
If it's that good.
If it's that, isn't it basically the size of a full game anyways?
Yeah.
That's believable under certain for circumstances, a game like Witcher. So.
Well, I mean, look what it's up against. So World of Warcraft Legion.
Dark Souls 3.
Which is also another expansion.
Yeah, Legion,
but
is
Legion
just
was
an
really
expansion.
Good too, though.
Right? Yeah, that's true. Legion. Dark Souls 3, I don't know. I feel like that would have won.
Dark Souls 3, it's any Dark Souls game is amazing for just the gameplay, the everything involved. From top to bottom, except for connecting pieces of the story together. Yeah. It is really hard to really tie the lore in with everything else that's going on. It's almost like you have to go into the Dark Souls Wikipedia to really understand what the F, because they're speaking, the way they talk.
Who knows what the fuck they're saying?
Which adds to the appeal of the game.
Yeah.
But it's really incomprehensible to someone.
I don't know anything about Dark Souls 3. I played very little of it, and that's the only Dark Souls game I played. But I have noticed people who don't like Dark Souls 3 are usually the people who are big fans of the series.
Oh, they think that Dark Souls 3 kind of ruined the series?
Well, I don't know if it ruined it, but it doesn't live up to some of the earlier ones.
Oh,
I
gotcha.
Yeah.
I think,
did they make
though,
it easier?
I don't want to say it's like the Japanese mindset, but because that could be a thing too. Like, they just view how you look at games differently than we do. But the other thing is Dark Souls kind of is purposely putting you in this, like, purgatory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one of the appeals is you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, if you were in purgatory, you'd have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so they might have, it might have been a conscious decision.
One of Louis C.K.'s best bits is when, like, if I don't want to go to hell because I know how the world works. Yeah. I don't know how hell works. Like, this demon comes down the hallway and he's like, hey, you got to blow me. So I fucking blow him. And then half an hour later, he's like, hey, man, you ain't have to blow that guy. This is hell. You're going to be blowing all kinds of shit. He's like, you can't
you
be
don't
free-
give it away.
Yeah, he's like, you can't be freelancing in the hallways.
And that's then, a great skit.
And then before we move on, I am actually paying attention to the Discord chat, and it's not too bad. I appreciate the things you're saying. Fastidious, I'm probably butchering his name.
Fastidious,
sorry so much. So much sorry. Much sorry, wow. Anyways, so he's talking about how underrated Doom is, making fun of millennials, F you. But, and he's saying he can't get into Overwatch. I feel like he needs to get a group like us into Doom, and we'll have to try it out. And then we'll, vice versa,
that's
try
how you
to
get into
him
any game. You get
into Overwatch.
A bunch of people to play
with. Yeah, you just need a group of people to play with.
Well,
and
it's tough
like
for him
more.
Because he got really good at Overwatch on the Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
And then you know, he's level 257 on
Yeah,
there.
He doesn't want to go to the new.
And then Beirut makes a really good point about Dark Souls 3, it being really good, but overdoes the callbacks. And I think that's what, when you mean by the callbacks, do you mean the part that where you're constantly going back through an area you've already 40.
Or it might be like he's talking about like the previous games. He's calling back to the previous Dark Souls.
But you're in the same purgatory, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, they just reference older games a lot.
Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Let's keep moving.
Yeah.
You might want to unscrew that a little bit because it's leaning. We're having some mic issues over here.
Best fighting game is Street Fighter V.
Yeah, there was only four options here in this one. I don't think a whole lot of fighting games came out.
Yeah, I mean...
A little side note. I got my tournament starting next week in Street Fighter V at work.
Nice.
And so I've been playing Alex. Alex is going to be my go-to guy.
But you're playing... Are you playing like versus the computer at home?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or online playing against people.
Train, man. I mean, I'll kick your ass a lot, but...
Yeah. Yeah, so... You would not be kicking my ass right now.
I've been playing for a week. You have somebody else fight for you?
No. I'll be
your champion, Chad.
This is at work.
Exactly.
There's
like a GOT call out.
There's like 25 like, people in this tournament.
I'm entering this tournament as Emilio is my champion.
So Civ 6 got best strategy game. None of us are even plan on playing it, unfortunately, right?
Yeah, one of these days. I don't know. It's like
when it goes on sale.
I could go back to Civ 5 and like enjoy that again too. I should play Civ 6 at some point.
What is this? The next category, best family game, is Pokemon Go. Yeah.
I think people do it in groups. Like they go out hunting together. Like
or
people
the
go on Pokemon dates.
The parents go out with the kid because the kid's not supposed to be wandering around by himself.
Yeah,
so you are actually spending time together.
I imagine I'm rolling solo.
Probably more so than
I
any
suppose.
Other game. Best sports racing game, Forza Horizon 3. I love that game. I play it on a fucking 4K TV. It's beautiful. I need a new video card. Best multiplayer game, it goes at Overwatch.
Yep. Okay.
Overcooked, I'm glad that it got up there. Most anticipated game went to Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Okay, I could definitely see. All those are all anticipated.
Ooh, Red Dead and Mass Effect.
And Mass Effect.
Yeah,
and
Red Dead Redemption would have been my most anticipated game out of that list.
But we don't know for sure, right? If it's PC yet?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did reveal that it was
PC. Out of this list, though, for everybody, what is your most anticipated game? There's God of War, Horizon, Mass Effect, Red Dead, or...
You know, Mass Effect, yeah, that did look good. They had gameplay footage of Mass Effect, and what else did they show? And the Legend of Zelda game.
I'm really excited for Mass Effect.
I can't wait, and it's completely different from Shepard's story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a different part of the galaxy, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Different time era, too?
I don't know, but they said that they're going to share...
It's like create your own galaxy or create your own universe or whatever.
I know they're going to share certain alien species, though.
Okay.
That's all I know.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What else we got?
Trending Gamer.
Boogie.
2988. That's a really fat guy, right?
I'm not sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody that knew anything about any of this was like, good for him. He's been doing it for years.
It was so sad because like, or I thought he didn't... They didn't have a regular seat for him. He's too big for a regular seat. So he was like off to the side.
It's not. I mean...
That was rough.
That was kind of like the costume show at TwitchCon where the Reinhardts were so like huge, they didn't even bother walking back up to the stage. They just stood on the side of the stage accepting their trophies.
At the very least, they could have had him sit on all his own candy wrappers.
Yeah.
Something. Is just wow.
Doesn't he have his own built-in console chair? Or whatever
I don't know
that
who he is.
Does anyone know the official name of the World of Warcraft South Park character?
Oh, shit.
Are you talking about
the one with the...
Yeah, the guy who...
The Sword of Eternal Truth or whatever that one is? That
not Stan's name.
So does Boogie look like that guy?
Not sure.
He's much bigger. You guys don't know who this guy is? Boogie29 whatever?
Mm-hmm. The only name I recognize is Lyric on that one.
You don't recognize Jacksepticeye or Angry Joe
Lyric
Shaw?
Is the only one I knew, too.
It's kind of funny that Angry Joe Shaw was nominated because he has a bit of a contentious history with Jeff Kiley.
Aluminum Skyrim helmet guy, Boogie. Okay, I do know him now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Let's move on. What else we got?
All right, best fan creation.
Ender All won, even though it had that whole issues. I want to know what happened that two of the games were removed or two of the
didn't announce a winner and two games were removed from the nominees list after they were announced. That's weird. Anyway, best esports player, Coldzera.
That was the one.
What's he play?
Coldzera was the
CSGO?
Was the CSGO guy that does the four op kills, oh, no scope okay. op kills.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cold. He is awesome.
The jumping ones.
Yeah. I feel like that chills. One play
you
is
just
what...
said four op kills.
No, no scope. No scope op kills.
You know, when I was younger, my dream was to date a professional CSGO player.
Well, you still have the opportunity.
I'm so far from it, it seems.
Well, you could. All right, what else we got?
I'm going to get married to a console pleb.
Best esports team. Winner is Cloud9. They didn't list a, I was going to say sport, but a game. The other teams nominated were SK Telecom T1 for League of Legends, Wings from Dota 2. They won the International. Cloud9 didn't have any, I feel like they're a very big, respected organization, but they don't have, I don't know, they don't really have a really good team in any game right now.
Yeah, maybe they're just selling the most t-shirts.
Why do you think that they got this award? Is it because it's the only like true America team?
Maybe. I mean,
America needs someone to root for.
These ones that we're getting into, I think, are the fan choice ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Best esports game, Overwatch, which I don't really agree with.
I don't agree with
esports. That's horrible.
It is so much in development.
That is the worst.
And there's really, yeah. I don't understand that. Dota 2, do you know how much money they rake in?
Yeah.
How does that not get top esports game?
Yeah, any of those other ones would have been
better. I was almost fine with all the other choices, but these last couple of winners are very questionable.
And the fan-voted ones are always the worst because it's a bunch of just...
Oh, these are fan-voted.
I think those are all fan-voted.
Yeah, these are fan choice right here.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
And I think every week we talk about something about wrong with Overwatch's competitive scene. So.
Yeah. I know. That's the worst one of the list.
Yeah.
All right. So that is the Game Awards. Now we know what games we should be playing and buying, I suppose.
And if you guys have thoughts on you know, what you thought should have won or other thoughts, you know, you can join us on our Discord or put a thread up in the Steam group, and we'll jump on and comment, and people can agree with you or disagree with you.
And you'll be reading that on what, Chad?
good segue. So last week I put my computer together. Everything was going good.
A quick question. Hands, my
yes,
hands
yes.
are
Cheese.
Raised.
Cheese.
I was hey, my hands not are here. Raised. I was not here. And
what happened to my computer?
Why did you pick such a small box for your new PC?
That was one of the things I wanted to do. I wanted a smaller box.
Like one of those LAN boxes, right?
Yeah, I don't like the big boxes. I think they're just annoying. I wanted to get it off my floor and get it away from my feet, and so
Did
I could put it on.
Keep you from getting certain types of equipment.
All I replaced is the motherboard and the case.
Do you have to get special sized motherboards or anything like
that? This is an MITX motherboard. It's really small. It's like this, but the case I have fits a conventional power supply. It fits a conventional graphics card. Everything's conventional except the motherboard and the case it's in.
Do you think that Bobby, he might be limited by a small tower?
No.
So the only thing that I might want at some point but don't have is no optical drive because it doesn't fit an optical drive.
Who needs that?
But who needs that?
Exactly.
It's about to be 2017,
You can
guys.
Get a USB optical drive, too, and just use it when you need it, and... Yeah, it saves you space inside the case, but yeah, computers don't need to be as big as they've always been in the past.
So anyways, built this thing, it was running fine, I ran the heat monitors, I did what, a GPU-Z, what was it called, GPU-Z, Bobby?
Yeah.
And the other thing that's interesting that I didn't know is in Overwatch, so the first game I decided to play was Overwatch, because everybody was jumping into Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was nervous about this because I had just built it. So I went into Overwatch options, and they've got performance analysis in Overwatch. But then you can select a bunch of different things if you want to track a bunch of different things. So I was tracking, like, frames per second, obviously, but then the GPU heat, the temperature of the GPU, temperature of, like, the CPU.
In Overwatch?
In Overwatch.
Wow.
It's displaying this, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
So anyways, I go in there and play this. We get, like, maybe halfway through the first match or something like that. It's running fine. Halfway through the first match, it black screens again, which is the problem that I was having.
Uh-oh.
So it turns out it's probably the GPU.
Yeah, it is definitely the graphics card.
But you're still under warranty.
But I think I'm still under warranty. But the problem was when I tried to reboot it. What?
Don't wait on that warranty.
Yeah, seriously. When I tried to reboot it, it just went to this black screen. It wouldn't boot up. And so finally today, when I got back from LA, I was fiddling around with it. And apparently the boot setup was set up wrong, and it was trying to boot from something other than my SSD, which I don't have anything else, so I don't know why it was.
So maybe that was it.
So I fixed it, and now it's booting up, but I'm scared to do anything graphic intensive because it's going to shut down. So I'm going to just get rid of this graphics card, get a new one.
You don't think it was, there's no way the, it was the boot thing that was fucking you up while you were playing?
No.
No.
Because it wasn't even booting into anything.
Okay.
So, anyways, that is the long and the short of my build right now. Oh, the other thing that happened was, and this factors into you guys as well. When I put the motherboard on, it would not recognize my install, wanted me to redo Windows 10. So I restarted it, and it wiped out. It kept my data, but it wiped out all my programs, and that includes Steam. And that also means that I don't have you guys as family share, so I need you guys to family share me again.
I don't know.
Yeah, you could do it after me and Emilio. Yeah. Actually, family share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But so, get in line, Chad.
The last thing that happened was, obviously my Windows 10 wasn't activated again. So I hit a Bobby, asked if they had cracks or anything like that or any way to get it free. Bobby didn't really know anything, but he was going to look into it. But then I looked around, and there's several sites that you can get Windows 10 for $25. And so I said, fuck it, I'm going to just give this a go.
At that point, $25, just do it, right? Although Beirut was saying that after he builds PCs, he just calls them and says that you do a repair. You tell Microsoft that you just did a repair, and they'll reenact it for your new thing.
My problem was I didn't have a version of Windows 10 because I upgraded from Windows 8. And so it was even more of a challenge because he said you don't even have a Windows 10 key to start with.
Oh, gotcha.
And so it was $25. I saved the Windows 10 key, so if something like this happens again, I can do it again. It just made it
you
simpler.
You got off easy.
Yeah, $25 is $25.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to buy one game and then make up for it. So anyways, that's what's going on Windows-wise. I don't know how much gaming I'm going to be able to get in this week because of that, so...
That sucks, man.
You guys are going to have to
pull the podcast next week.
Yeah.
For me, especially, I am totally in the mood for gaming. Finally resettled in since coming back from vacation, and definitely going to be gaming post-podcast recording. I'm extremely excited because they gifted me this holiday season with a completely reworking of Symmetra.
Yeah, who used to be your main thing.
If you, it used to be a video on the Blizzard Updater, but if you Google it, you'll be able to find it and get all the details. With the new Symmetra, I haven't played her yet. I know she's available on PTR, but they virtually changed all but one thing about her. Hmm. So how much do you guys know about the new Symmetra?
Nothing.
Break it down.
All right, this will be fun. The new Symmetra, by the way.
I haven't played Symmetra in so long. Can you go quickly over the old ones?
Old school Symmetra is the one with the photon gun,
which kind of tracks them and locks onto them.
And the longer you have it locked on, the more damage it does.
Okay.
She puts up the turrets.
And she can right click with the ball, right?
Yeah, and then if you hold it down, it blasts a ball that's slower.
That goes through walls, right?
But does more damage. Yeah. It goes through shields.
Shields. Okay.
And then she also puts down the teleport as her ultimate.
Okay.
And she shields people with her E.
Yep.
Her ability. So with the complete reworking of Symmetra, who, by the way, I have played double the hours on compared to any other hero on my list.
So were you excited to hear a Symmetra rework or
not?
Because you play her a lot, obviously you kind of like.
And nobody else in the world plays Symmetra except for me, apparently. But yeah, Symmetra is one of the least played heroes. And they've recognized that and they wanted to rework her so they can, she could add more really to the appeal beyond just a playing defense on a first point and using the teleporter there. Cause once they capture the first point, you basically switch off of Symmetra and you can't make her useful throughout, on attack and, or on, on payload capture, defense.
She's super useful, or she was super useful in a very specific case for a very specific amount of time.
Yeah.
And then after that, she fell apart.
Yeah. So with the new Symmetra, her gun is virtually the same, the photon laser. But they increased the range just a little bit to lock on. And other than that, there's really no differences to her
and
gun.
And she still has her ball that goes.
Yeah, on. The ball is the same. So that is almost all identical. Beyond that, though, the huge difference is, of course, she's the first hero in Overwatch to have alternate alts. So have all two alts. And the first ult, before I move on to that, her ability, her shields, normally you give each hero 25 shields and only one during that that lifespan.
Yeah.
That's going to be eliminated, and she's now going to have a photon shield like Reinhardt that is a projectile. So imagine Reinhardt's shield, and when she uses her ability, it shoots out from the direction that she was aiming, and it doesn't dissipate until destroyed. Or it hits a wall.
Interesting. That's so weird.
And the cooldown on that is only 10 seconds.
Okay.
So can you imagine having Reinhardt's ability in motion so you could push...
How fast does it move?
It moves pretty steady. Actually faster than characters.
Okay.
So it...
so you can shoot
little,
it as you're running.
A little couple... I feel like it moves a little bit faster than character speed.
Okay.
So you could kind of follow it like Reinhardt's shield if he's leading the team. But Reinhardt slows down when his shield is up. This photon one, it's at least character speed, if not faster.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so, and its cooldown is, is 10 seconds.
So does she not have turrets anymore, or does she still have turrets?
She does have turrets, and they improved her turrets. Nice. I don't think by damage or anything, but by cooldown. She now is able to put all six turrets up at the beginning of the game.
Oh, nice.
You don't have to wait.
That's cool.
Because normally you have a max of three, and then you have to wait. And early in the game, you're just so busy putting those up, you're not very useful. And then also with that, with the turrets, you could have a maximum of six instead of the three cut off. And then, of course, the ultimate. This is the big thing. The shield, even though it's not the ability, it's now her ultimate. She, just like Lucio, she'll put down a teleporter, but it's a shield device. And it will give an area of effect shield that is significant. I think it's 250.
Dang.
So, 250 shield points.
So give them something else to shoot at, right? Because it's like...
Yes, yes. And the thing about it, it has... the teleporter itself has to be destroyed, and it doesn't have to be within LOS. So you could hide it in a corner. You could be... the range is... I would say it's... It's like from Route 66. It's from like the billboard to the entrance.
Okay.
Of
that's pretty far.
Yeah, and so as long as you're in that area, you will have the bonus shields, and if you leave that area, it dissipates. Okay. But then if you don't lose your shield, I think if you re-enter the area, you get it back.
So that's one of her ultimates.
That's super strong.
And then the other ultimate is her teleporter. So the only way to switch over the ultimate is you just tap it one more time, and it'll switch from shield to from teleporter, and then you just put down what you want.
It's still definitely a defense character, but that's what she is, right?
Yeah.
But like you use your teleport early, and now you can switch to another ultimate that works. So they're solving one of her problems.
So it,
I dig it.
Yeah. And I'm super excited because the rework is going to change up almost entirely how you want to play Symmetra in terms of attack. She actually has a chance at payloads now with the photon shield. And then also with the team support. She now feels like a support character.
Yeah, she didn't feel like one.
She was just turret. Turrets of even. It was hard to get up all the turrets and have an effective amount.
She played lots of roles, but none of them well enough to play a role.
Yeah.
So we'll see next week. Game. We'll talk about it next week, see if they pulled it off or not.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
I'll get into Brigador first. I talked about it last week. So this reminds me a lot of Galaxy. Not so much as being a similar game, I think maybe, I'm not sure, I got to give it more time. But I think maybe they ruined a good game with complex controls. Like, not that the controls are bad. This is what they wanted. They wanted tank controls, but you...
Oh, this is the mech game.
Yeah,
right?
It's a mech game.
Brigador.
You feel a lot like a T-Rex going through compounds and killing people, which is fun. Like I'm saying, it's a fun game. It has 80s synth music going on in the background. It's 9 out of 10 on Steam. So, maybe they were making it a little more... difficult because you're so powerful. Maybe that's how they made it more difficult, but it is frustrating. That's why I'm saying I haven't given enough time, because maybe once you get good at the controls, you're going to have more fun. But I don't see myself ever getting good at these controls, because you have to look at your feet to see which way they're pointing, and then also be looking at your targets. And they're on two different, maybe if I had a smaller screen, but I'm having a tough time.
Is this a dual stick shooter?
It's much more. Yeah, well, I guess at its base, yeah, but up doesn't mean you're going to go up. You have to turn your feet the way you want to go.
Old school Resident Evil shooting.
Something like that, yeah. you have to turn.
Swivel your character and exactly. then move forward. Yeah.
But it's fat. You saw how fast space it is.
Yeah.
Not slow as zombies. So not that I'm getting smoked. It's just frustrating to play. And a game shouldn't be frustrating.
So you want it easier is what you're saying. You want the old Chad.
No, I want the controls to be easier. Mm. I do like it. I'm going to keep playing, but I don't know yet. And then Titanfall 2, I fucking fell in love with and just jumped in 2 feet. I beat the single player. I thought the single player was pretty good. The human AI, it's so funny. The human AI, terrible, just like Battlefield 1, I said that. But the robots that are like robots the size of humans and act like robots is better AI than the
really?
Human. Yeah, like they act like robots. The humans don't act like humans. So funny. Like it was just kind of funny. But the story was cool. I mean, they had cool little segments.
Multiplayer been
amazing. So it's been a long time since I played Call of Duty, and basically that's what it's very run and gun.
You climb on the walls, you slide for like 15 minutes.
Not 15. You slide for like 6 yards. But you can use, because you have rocket boosters, you can use that momentum to then jump on a wall, then onto another wall. Every time you do a slide mechanic, your speed gets faster and faster. So if you can chain your things together, you can get going pretty quick. Not like...
like Tony Hawk, you're going to pull an ollie halfway through.
Yeah, but not like tribes.
You get bonus points.
And dude, if you like, let's say, you grapple through a window, slide against the wall, do a wall run, flip, or like do a 360 and shotgun somebody and kill them. It's fucking orgasm worthy. You're like, oh my god, I wish I had a replay of that.
You played Warframe too, and of course, I feel like the movement in between the two of them. Which one's more?
So Warframe's fluid. A lot easier and more fluid.
Okay,
this needs to be harder by default so that better players can. Because if everybody was moving full speed all the time, nobody would ever hit anybody. So you know, I miss my jumps a lot when I'm trying to get somewhere. And you know, that raises the skill cap. Now I'm a terrible fucking soldier, really bad. But then once I get my Titan, I'm much better at being in a Titan. Like I feel like I've got a better grasp of that, 'cause it's a slower pace for this old man. And, but the better you are at the soldier, the faster you get your Titan. So I'm just trying to get I try to go around and kill as many NPCs as possible so I can build up my thing. I'm having a fucking blast. The progression's super fast. On the first night, I got to level 8, whatever that means. But you were getting like 3 unlocks per level. So I felt like I was really progressing. I stayed up till like 3 and 4 in the morning. I haven't done this in years. I did the same thing the next night, like fucking loving it. So much fun. But downside that I think is going to happen. So Chad, let's say we play together.
Yeah,
we're never going to play together because we're just running and gunning. You can't really.
It's not squad based.
There's nothing. Yeah, it's fucking just running around. It's like deathmatch, basically.
Yeah.
The only time you could set up some strategy if you both got your mechs at the same time.
And there's only one mode online. It's just that
there's like
that
8
point,
modes.
That point based one that I was.
No, there's like 8 modes. Oh, I only play one though.
There's like capture point mode and stuff like that.
Uh huh. And there's 30,000 people playing anytime that I'm playing. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good amount of people.
The coolest thing that I saw while I was watching you play, and this was probably on Titanfall 1, but since I never really saw it played, when you jumped on the back of the dude's mech and you're like hanging on there and you're like helping him out, you're like trying to shoot the things while he's while he's running around, that was really sweet.
Yeah. You can get on friendly mechs and you can get on enemy mechs and do damage. One of my favorite things that happened was yesterday. An enemy dude got on my head and they basically start hurting you.
Yeah, they're fucking up your stuff.
Yeah, and so you have anti-rodeo countermeasures, they're called, right? So you hit it, and it's like a electric gas bomb, and they have to jump off or they die or whatever.
Okay.
I turned around and shot him in midair after he
after was jumping off.
Oh, dude, it was so sick. And the other thing I didn't know, I just learned, because when I was dead, I was watching somebody else. This guy had this huge green, gigantic green battery on his back. I'm like, what class is this? I've never seen this before. He did a grappling hook onto a friendly mech and put the battery in him to heal him. I didn't even know you could do that.
Oh, he was a medic. So they added medics.
Kind of. I don't think you can heal other players, because it's like two bullets and you're dead. There's no healing. But he went and healed a mech, but he had to climb on it first, open the latch, put it in there, shut the latch. I was like, whoa, that's fucking dope. Yeah, I don't know how you do that.
The other thing that I thought was cool in Titanfall 2 is the map design, the way it's set up, is because you've got these two different sizes, and they both have to do their job, but it's the maps are made in such a way that the little map for the guys is set up one way, and then the big map is set up another way. And it's almost kind of like two tracks of race cars where they intersect each other, and you have these fights where both the little and the big are fighting. But then there's areas that are more set up for the big guys because they got to have room for there, because there's inside levels. And so you have these mechs running around inside, and they're like big hallways. And then there's also areas where the mechs can't get into, so you can do like close range fighting.
They did a really good job with that. And never are you like, oh, they obviously put this wall here just for this.
Yeah.
It's all seamless and integrated and beautiful. Hmm.
Cool.
This is the game that makes me want to get a new graphics card, by the way.
How many player name bastions did you encounter in Titanfall 2?
None yet.
What? Well,
then again, I'm terrible at reading I don't read player names.
Yeah.
Chat will be like, oh, these are those guys that we played last game. And I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, man.
And then I'll be really short and sweet and simple with the games I played this week. I went away for family vacation, so I got to play local co-op with my brothers and my boyfriend, Max. We played Helldivers the most.
On
sale. It's on sale on Steam. Helldivers is great for four-player shared screen, top-down dual-stick shooter. For me, it reminded me a lot of... With friendly fire, so it's a huge challenge. Leveling elements, and so you get to upgrade your weapons and your gear and your stratagems, which are like your call down abilities, really. And with this game, what was I going to say? It was from the creators of Magicka, and you play online. So
Arrowhead.
Yeah, if you drop one player, you could jump into somebody's online game. The whole game is online, and it's in a world very similar to Ender's Game meets StarCraft, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You are a Helldiver, which is a recruited soldier fighting for the freedom of Super Earth, which is more like, you know, terrorizing like your local your galaxy. Like there's a bug world, there's a cyborg world, and there's I call it the Protoss world, even though I don't know the name.
They're like robots, right?
No, there's a robot one, the bug one, and then it's like an alien species.
Yeah. I call them Protoss. That's the thing. That's why I call it StarCraft. And it's Ire. Sorry.
Ire.
Gosh, I can't pronounce things tonight. But anyways, and it's great. So if you want a challenging co-op game, it's actually... originally a Sony PS4 title, and converted over to Steam. When I bought it was $8. That's like the cost of a California burrito here. It's so good. And talking about the game, not the burrito.
That's amazing for $8. Have so much replayability with it.
It's also one
and
of those games.
We could play it, and you would get so mad at Chad. You have no idea.
Oh, we played a
they
lot.
They call it friendly. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Friendly fires are called, what are they called? Accidentals?
Yeah, accidentals.
So when you could see everybody's accidentals at the end, and it was always Max. So
just like Magicka,
tell him to jump down on the ground more.
Right?
Just like Magicka, what I like about these games where you have to basically cast a spell, I like to call it like that. But if a lot of shit's going on, you even though it's a simple thing, it's like up, left, right, up. You're freaking out because everybody's about to die.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't do that...
And if the D-pad's not good.
And you know, people with souls have problems with it. Bobby would just, cool as a cucumber, put it in right every time.
And not understand why everybody's freaking out. Like sweat's coming out of your thumb and your fingers are slipping.
The only downside I would say is a lot of... of Helldivers, you can just run from everything. So you can just be booking out and just be trying to do the code again and again and again.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things. I forgot what they're called. We call them hordes in Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Where it's like an endless event. No matter what, they're going to, the zombies are going to keep coming in, respawning. So you just got to keep moving and, you know, get the quests done and get it over with. And then, of course, Talisman. I'm not sure if you guys have ever played it. Amazing. Number one RPG board game I've ever played. And Talisman. My entire life, I've been playing it for years now. I introduced my brothers to Talisman.
Ooh, it looks complex.
It is so complex in all the right ways, but simple enough that if you have played an RPG, this.
Yeah, it's bought.
Right? It's bought. It's bought.
It's already bought.
Yeah, if you, huh?
That's your.
We're gonna buy it.
That's your. That's your.
Oh yeah, if you have played an RPG in your life, you will be able to play Talisman. With Talisman, there are so many expansions. Four, I think, or if because one for each corner, or there might be more. But you have a hero. I think the original game has 12 or 13. And with this, with the hero, you go around the board, you power up your hero, you have craft, like mana, HP, strength, and it's actually a game where you have to win. It's not a co-op game. It can be cooperative, like player versus board, but in the end, you are trying to get to the command center.
Oh, so only one person can win.
And then when you're in the center, when you have the crown, you slowly, like each round, you have a chance to hit everybody for one HP until they die. And then you pick up items, you go through events, you attack.
I'm so down.
Yeah, you kill.
I'm already going to play the frog.
Yeah,
I don't care.
And then it's hilarious too, because if you have bad rolls, you could get toted, where you basically become a frog, and for three turns, like anything can kill you, and you can kill each other. Mm. There are heroes that have their own classes: wizards, warriors. There's a troll. And there's like an assassin class. So there are heroes that have stronger dueling stats versus against the board stats. So regardless, everybody, I feel like it's very well, very even, yeah, balanced game. Well balanced game. And everyone has a chance to win or miserably lose. Die. But no matter where you are, and the pace of the game can change. If you hit the crown first, somebody's just going to be like right in your tail if you have bad rolls and can't kill off people.
Is it like Monopoly, where if the first guy that gets knocked out, I have to wait an hour for the next game to start?
No. When you get knocked out, you respawn as a new character.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's legit, and it's also available on Steam. So you could play the digital edition, which is almost just as fun as
Talisman,
the board game edition. Because, it's called Talisman. It's almost just as fun as the board game edition because it stays true to the game. It doesn't change the board game.
Oh, shit, it's only $8.
It adheres the rules that you otherwise might be ignoring when you're playing in person. And there's also a mobile version, too. So online, it looks like one copy for one is $8. If you get a six-pack, it's $30. And you could play with your friends anywhere in the world. And there's so many expansions because this game is worth playing until the day you die. It's awesome.
Beirut says he has it, so we already have one if we want to play the digital version. So
yeah.
Cool. Where are we at?
What was that? What was that digital board game that had it had the anamorphic creatures. And the king was like the
Armello.
Armello. It kind of reminded me of Armello. Yeah. Thank you, Beirut. Yeah, Armello.
What the hell is man versus snake, Bobby?
Anamorphic or anthropomorphic?
Anthropomorphic. Okay. Thank you.
Armello.
What is anamorphic? I don't know.
I bought it off the recommendation of somebody, and I never got around to playing it.
It was broken when we played it.
Yeah, Armello. Yeah, it broke with the patch, and it probably is fixed at this point, but yeah. I said fuck that.
Man vs. Snake is the documentary on Netflix that I was trying to remember last week. It is about a guy who broke the record for an arcade game called Nibbler back in, I think, the late 70s, early 80s. Someone else took that record away from him, and this is a story of him trying to get it back. It deals with all those characters from the King of Kong documentary. Did you guys watch that?
Fistful of Quarters? But what do you mean, the same guys? Yeah.
It's got a lot of the same people. Walter Day, owner-operator of Twin Galaxies, Billy Mitchell, some of those guys who are real famous, I guess you would call them competitive gamers, back when the arcade game craze happened. And it was a really good, really well done documentary.
Wait, what's the game again? Nibbler?
Nibbler. And it's a very unknown game. It almost looks like Centipede, but it's a snake. I accidentally typed in nibblers, and I got something really weird.
Okay. Fruit nibblers.
Completely innocent, by the way.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. Okay. I'll bring up a video of it. It looks like a combination almost of Pac-Man and Centipede, but it's not a very well-known game, but this guy had the record for it, and it was just all about him trying to get it back and reclaim the number one spot, and it I don't know. I was very entertained by this, even more so than King of Kong, which I felt dragged on at parts and kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say demonized, but painted Billy Mitchell in a very bad light. And
wait, who's Billy Mitchell?
He had the record for Donkey Kong for a while and a couple of other games.
Is he the long-haired one?
Yeah, he has long hair. He owns like I think he makes like salsa or something like that. I don't know.
Like you do.
And, he may not be, like, there may be some parts to him that aren't the greatest, but, you know, isn't that everybody? I don't know. I felt this documentary was pretty fair when it came to that, because there was a character, and I'm trying not to spoil any of this, because I think everyone should watch this. There was a character who, there were some allegations against him, and it made him look really bad, but he got to tell his side of the story, and I think the documentary was very fair with that information.
A good documentary could be about fucking shoelaces, and if it's well done, you can really enjoy it. And the contrast to that, a bad-made documentary about something super interesting can also be good. So you can almost, like, not go wrong, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the old adage, you can make a good film about anything, really. Like, mm-hmm. Your subject doesn't necessarily matter, it's really the presentation and...
Yeah,
and, fastidious says C. Ron Howard. That's funny.
But yeah, I highly recommend that. It's on Netflix, maybe about an hour and a half, 2 hours long. And I love that period of gaming, that old...
Why did we bring up Man vs. Snake in the first place last
week? That's the name of the documentary.
I know, but why were we talking about the documentary itself? Do you remember?
I can't remember why it came up last week. It was actually when it first came out, which is maybe like a few months ago. People were talking about it in Discord. I think FigSack originally brought it up, and it's been kind of on my to-do list for a while. And when you watch something on Netflix, it recommends similar things as well. So after I watched that, I guess there's an esports documentary on Netflix. I'll have to check that out. But a few other
ones. The Valve one?
Of what?
No, Ready Player One.
No.
That one's
free to play.
Free to play.
Yeah, free to play. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
No, I have not seen that one.
So, really? No. Chad, what were your... I covered Lost Castle last week, but what were your thoughts?
Oh, wow. Okay, so this was last weekend, so it's going to take me a second to get back in my brain. It was a lot of fun. We had a blast. It was difficult. We got to the third section once or twice.
Yeah.
It was very difficult.
The thing is, it's like... The first time you play, there's no way you're powerful enough to get further than you're supposed to anyway.
Yeah.
The pacing, I think, is right where it should be.
I was having a fun time. It was a blast. We were playing two-player. We tried to play more than two-player. Apparently, you can't do local more than two players, which it was unfortunate. But the only thing that I would say, like, downside is they could have done a lot of fun stuff with the talent trees and what you were unlocking and stuff, and it was very generic. Like, one attack point, one health point. Like, they could have had a fun, because that's really the rogue-like elements of this game. And nothing on the tree made me want to be like, oh, I need to play to get to this because I want to see how it changes the gameplay.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's all those things that have question marks over them.
Yeah, but
so maybe there's something.
Yeah,
fun,
maybe there is. But in that case, show me what's out there then. If it's going to be...
And just make it super expensive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like the one time that I wanted to work for one is because it actually opened up something. I forget what it was, but it kind of changed the game a little bit for me. And it would have been awesome to have a lot more of those.
Changed the game?
It was kind of a game changer, so to speak.
Somebody coined that.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
man.
True.
So you weren't there, I don't think. So I unlocked the potion giver or whatever, and he wouldn't talk to Sam.
Yeah,
unlocked him. Oh,
no,
okay.
I was there for you too.
So I thought that was kind of interesting, but
yeah, but a lot of fun. The gameplay, I could see what you're saying. How the combat's a little simplistic,
but it's what it needs to be.
Yeah, it's what it needs to be.
Yeah.
If it was very complex, then there'd be too much going on.
There's not a whole lot wrong with this game. It's pretty great.
How many? It's a cap of four. four players?
Online four player.
Oh, is it?
I believe so.
It says beta, so I don't. They're still working on the netcode, I believe. Okay.
But yeah, a lot of fun. How much was that? That was like $8, something like that. You're not getting that out of that thing, by the way.
Oh, I know. Bobby, what did you think of the game that I wanted to play with you, but you felt like I couldn't play with you?
Gears of War 4?
Yeah.
Who did pretty you play with, Bobby?
I didn't
yourself?
Play with anybody.
Wait, why? You wanted to play with him, and he's like, nah, you're not on my level?
No, he just didn't tell me that he bought it. He told me he was going to buy it.
I said that on the podcast, that I was going to buy it, and I did, and I tried to play it, and it wouldn't work. So I had to uninstall and reinstall 80 gigs worth of data to get this game to work again.
Wow.
And, I mean, this is
how
my
many
first
gigs?
80 gigs.
Holy yeah. shit. And yeah, I can't buy this game.
It's
there's no way you can fit 80 gigs.
But
between the
is,
porn and the videos and the movies, no, you ain't doing 80 gigs.
You could make room. Yeah, but it's this is my first Gears of War game, so I'm excited to start playing it. But I've refrained from playing any of it because I do want to play through it with somebody and do the whole co-op experience.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my first experience with the Microsoft Store.
And
not that great so far. I mean, aside from the game just straight up not working, like just getting stuck on a loading screen, I Googled the problem and everyone's like, yeah, you just got to reinstall it. I'm like, fuck, okay.
Yeah.
And it worked after that, which is cool. But trying to log into the Microsoft Store was a hassle. It would not open. So I had to go on the website and then get it from there. And then I had to just, I don't know what I even did. I think I searched for Gears of War 4 and found it somewhere. Or I went to the Xbox app, installed it through there. Once it was installed there, then I could open the Microsoft Store. I mean, Windows is just a fucking mess right
now. And that's one of the things that they were talking about. There was this outcry when they made these changes and were trying to get more Windows platform stuff put in.
Well, that's the scary thing is like Microsoft wanted to have their own. They wanted to be Valve, basically. They wanted to have their own version of Steam, and they're so fucking far from it. They aren't even on Origin level yet. They're far from Origin level.
Wow.
Ooh, and
far
burn.
From Origin. That's a burn. Yeah, that's a deep burn.
I don't know. I was really annoyed by it, and like I don't usually get annoyed by that kind of stuff, but now I'm finally at the point where I can play the game. And so, yeah, if you guys want to play, I've got 2 weeks off coming up soon, and I plan on diving into it then.
I'm definitely a Gears fan. I played Gears of War 3. I've never played any of the Gears of War to the point where I got close to beating it, but I've thoroughly enjoyed the cooperative play. So when you said that you didn't play with Amelia for a second, I thought you were playing by yourself. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I think you can do the entire single-player cooperative mode, right?
Yeah.
So if I pick it up, then I'll have co-op. You
is
guys
it two-player
co-op.
Co-op, or how many can you have?
Probably two.
For a single player, I'd imagine
I think it's two.
I think it's
we have the internet in front of us if we wanted to check
this with two. I couldn't see three or four players. I don't think I've ever done that.
Bobby, so I had the issues, too, where you have to sign into that and then sign into the other thing. But once you do, I've bought two games from there now. It's pretty streamlined now. I just, you know, hit the Windows key and then go to the Xbox app.
I just have
a
problem that they hide so much from you. Like, I tried to look up, where's the installation location? Where exactly is this 80 gigs on my computer? And it's not a common directory. It looks like some sort of hidden temporary directory or something like that. It's very shady.
Fastidious agrees with you strongly.
Yeah.
You can't fucking find it, he says.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I don't like when they do that. That's what Apple does. Apple's like, don't worry about it. We'll make this real easy.
This is your
you.
Computer. But not really.
Yeah.
This is our computer.
I mean, it's great for an end user who doesn't know what the hell they're doing, but like if you're used to having access to those things, then you feel cut off and it's very annoying. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my experience with the Microsoft Store. I'm sure that won't affect my opinion of the game. I'm excited to actually play through a Gears of War game. But having played the first like 10 minutes of the game, I feel like Gears of War like started so many trends in that genre, and I played the reiterations or the derivatives
cover
of
based
it
shooting.
So much. Yeah, cover-based shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I played the derivatives so much that now I'm like, oh, well, this is just like that. But really, that is just like Gears of War, the original. So there's going to be that thing to get over. But I don't know. I do really want to play this start to finish.
Cool. So Mobius hit me up on Discord, and he had a listener question for us, which we don't have every week. So if you're interested in, if you have any questions, feel free to shoot it our way, and we will talk about it on the podcast. His listener question is, what is your guys' dream setup for your office or gaming space?
I think Bobby probably has it, huh?
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm pretty much living the dream.
Well,
yeah.
You calm down there, Bobby.
You only have two monitors. Would you get a third monitor? Should the
I do have three monitors. You're looking at it right
now. Oh, yeah,
there.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Because you rock one big monitor, and then you've got a side monitor that you've got sideways for mm-hmm. Web apps. And, oh, that's an awesome way to set your monitor, by the way. Sideways for web-based stuff or chat-based mm-hmm. stuff. It's the best way.
The only reason I haven't done it is because of the stand situation. I don't know
I have
that
a stand
works.
At work. I'll bring it.
Okay.
I have one that'll flip cool. it vertical. But... Yeah, no, I wouldn't switch the three monitors. That's good if you want to do the whole like surround
Infinity
gaming, but
thing?
At that
yeah.
point, I would get a widescreen.
Like a curved one?
Yeah, the curved widescreen like Lab Monkey and a few of our other yeah. listeners have. Saw those all over the place at QuakeCon too. They're beautiful, but...
So the only improvement you'd have is a better graphics card right now?
I got a 1080. I don't know.
Okay.
Even if I went like my processor, I couldn't even upgrade. I could get a 6700, but I don't think it would... show much improvement. Yeah.
But he's not also just talking about the hardware. He's also talking about your actual space mm-hmm. that you're in. You're right now in the corner. I think all of us are set up. Not you. You're in the... Not you, Chi, because you're in the kitchen. But...
Okay, wait until my turn comes okay. around.
But everybody's in the corner. Right. But you're rocking the DX Racer, Bobby, which is an awesome chair, and I'm jealous of, so...
Yeah, I'm very happy with this chair. I do like it.
But the cloth one. The cloth one's the way to
go. Yeah, I don't understand how people can sit on that other material. That's not comfortable to me.
Yeah.
Chi, what do you need?
Okay, well, first, I think Bobby's being very humble in saying he's got the dream set up here, because, you know, you don't know until you've experienced it or had something just super awesome. For me, I've gotten pretty close to a dream setup before, in the sense that there are many things I would change or upgrade to. First and foremost, I would love a sit stand desk and a big
one. Oh yeah,
one.
For sure.
So not only will I have a really nice chair, but if I wanted to sit on a yoga ball or if I wanted to stand, that's an option. I do at least dual monitors, maybe Infinity.
Okay.
And I would have a TV mounted right above my monitor on the wall. And I've had that before. And in front and behind me would be my bed with an adjustable. So if I wanted to switch from PC gaming to console gaming with a controller, I just hop on my bed behind me, okay. raise up the bed, and play console games or play like Dark Souls 3. I had that set up when I first started streaming. So if you look at some of my old streams, I used to have my bed right behind me. It was an adjustable bed. I played South Park from my bed, the Stick of Truth. Yeah.
Wow. I like it. You've thought about this, even though you saw the question.
It's pretty freaking sick.
Yeah.
But my room was small, and if I could have that dream set up again, I'd have it been in a larger room and with upgraded everything.
Okay.
But that was my closest to my dream setup.
Okay. Mill?
Sit stand desk. Definitely. I definitely need a new graphics card. I like the idea of the 1440 widescreen. That's definitely want one of those. Besides that, I think that's it. I mean,
no, now you'll have the little puppy on your lap. While
I know he's
going to
eat all my cables. I just got a new. His name is Cable too.
No way.
Yeah, so he's going to eat all my wires.
The irony.
Yeah.
Personally, myself. My setup is almost the complete opposite of my ideal setup.
In the corner.
One monitor. So I keep having to switch back and forth to Discord to talk to people while I'm gaming. So that's not fun at all. So I'd definitely do two monitors, probably set up similar to how Bobby's set up. The DX Racer I'm loving. So I have a decent chair right now, but the DX Racer is definitely much better. None of you guys mentioned sound. And my headphones, which are wireless, which I love, kind of like go in and out occasionally.
Oh, which is typical of wireless
oh
headphones.
My gosh.
Yeah. So that bugs the shit out of me. I feel like
if I clicked on your Steam profile and read your profile, it'd say Chad, San Diego, California. Poor me.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is an old reference, but I feel like Chad trying to game is like the end of Platoon when he's walking forward, but they're riddling him with bullets. Every time he makes any progress, just another bullet hits him.
And my setup right now is I'm set up in the corner, but my room isn't quite large enough for the corner setup. So my bed is right behind my chair, so every time I try to adjust my chair, it hits my bed and doesn't sit right. And so I've switched to a wired headset because I didn't like how the wireless kept cutting out, and now I'm running over my wired headset while I'm hitting the computer. So if I could change all those, I would do that.
Oh, my goodness.
But as far as hardware is concerned, obviously I'm black screening, so I'm going to need to change that. But other than that, I'm almost there. So I'm close.
Bobby,
it's
right now.
It's kind of funny that you cooked up that PC on the stove. Yeah. And you really must, like, it didn't come out right.
Yeah,
it's fried.
Yeah.
Cable is at home right now in a kennel, and he has that cone on his because his balls just got chopped off.
Cable's in a kennel with a cone.
Yes. Okay. He can't turn around too good because he has his cone on, right? And his balls just—and he can't lick his balls. That's you playing. You can't even fucking adjust.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
But I do get to lick my balls, so that's good.
Do you think Cable's happy with his new owner yet?
I don't know. I don't think he likes me. We'll see.
He's like, "What's this brown
person?"
I'll
make him love me.
He's like, "You took my balls."
Hey, man, it said on the brochure, unconditional love. So far, he's bit the shit out of me.
I read something online where it's
racist.
A fantasy novel. If a fantasy novel was written from a dog's perspective, we'd be elves because we'd live for like 500 years in their term.
That's a good point. Yeah, I might have got a racist dog. He hates Mexicans. I'm fucked.
A lot of dogs are racist, though, right?
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Sincerely?
It's usually about people who don't
have to
look
be
like,
trained into somebody.
No, I think like they recognize people as whatever color their owner is. So if it's somebody other color, they like don't like them.
There's actually, I went to a 1-year-old's first birthday party yesterday, and one of the little girls there, little Asian, half Mexican, half Asian baby, the father is this like of the little girls who was turning one. He's black and a dark skinned black, and he's very loud, and he's awesome. He's cool, but he's very loud. And every time he says the little girl's name, she runs away and starts crying. And I'm like, your little baby is racist. I don't even feel bad for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even feel bad for her. It's like, it's poor. Oh.
Well, like babies and kids, like they don't know politically correct things. They just do whatever.
It's so sad how
it's sad though.
Babies are so scared of old women. Like grandmas will be like, hey, and they're
it's like that scene from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey where they're in hell and
Bogus Journey, not even Excellent Adventure.
No, not Excellent Adventure, Bogus Journey, the sequel where they're in hell and Bill, like that old lady's pinching his cheek, dude. That's what it's like.
Yeah. I missed that one, Bobby. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a deep cut there. But I had a terrible experience with an old lady when I was but a lad. I can't remember what we did. I had these friends that lived up the street from me. This Mexican family who was Jewish for some reason.
Jewish Mexican? Okay.
Yeah. You don't see that a lot.
Sense. Yeah, no.
Two stories with these guys. One time, me and the youngest kid, we were talking, and he was like, hey, do you know if you call 911, the cops will come? I'm like, well, fuck, let's do it. So we call up 911. We're like, yeah, there's a robber in the house. And sure enough, the cops came. We're like, cool. And his mom was so pissed.
Oh, yeah.
We were super young. Yeah. We were real young. Did not really know the implications of that. But second funny story with that, I can't remember what we did. We were running around the house, but his grandmother was staying with him, and she got really upset with me particularly. And all I remember is her coming at me with her slipper, like took the
chunkla.
Yeah, the chunkla.
Took her slipper off.
All Mexicans fear the chunkla.
Yeah,
came
yeah,
at me with the slipper and just was like spouting something in Spanish. And my buddy's mom is holding her back.
Wow.
Yeah, you were a bad kid.
I don't know what I did. Yeah. I don't know what I did.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, we don't have any news?
There was no news, but we're going long anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, do you have any questions? Jeez, Fastidious, you're talking more than we are. But, I think we pretty much covered anything.
Yeah.
Unless you guys have something right now.
If we could sum up what Fastidious.
Trouble with that word.
Yeah, Fastidious.
What fast food is trying to tell us is that we should get into the three games, I think, into Doom. Into more Dota 2. And also... one more game.
Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing calling it TF2.
Yeah, TF2.
Yeah. But We are going to continue to do this with Discord. We usually record on Sundays, but it's not always the case. Usually Sundays around this time seems to be the norm.
Yeah. This time would be around 4:30 or so, 4
PST.
4:30.
It's either Friday night, Sunday night, or Monday night.
What I think we should do is when we talk and decide on next week's time we're doing it, we should let people know in our Steam group.
Yeah, I haven't alerted anybody in related to my Twitch or anything at all.
Yeah.
I didn't know until I came here.
Yeah, this was a surprise.
On last week's podcast, but yeah, we'll be a little more proactive in announcing that on Discord. But we're hoping to make it more of a regular thing and then maybe even at some point bring it on listeners to talk to. So.
Or maybe get on Twitch again. Got that
that's down the road.
That's all of us right there. Baby steps.
Yeah. Okay, next week, anything important going on?
Not for me.
Hopefully, no. I will have my PC fixed, and then we never have to bring this up again.
Yeah. So.
Oh, there was something on Final Fantasy 15. Do I have 5 minutes to talk about this?
Minutes? Holy shit, man.
All right, 2 minutes.
I am interested, so please.
I've been playing Final Fantasy 15, and it's a console-only game, so I didn't bring this up. But I did want to bring up something that just impacts gamers. I have never been more ashamed to be a male gamer in my life until I started playing Final Fantasy 15. Bobby, Google Final Fantasy 15 Cindy, please, for me, while you're doing this. I start playing this. And it's weird. You start playing, and you have four guys in your crew, and they all look the same.
Of course.
They're all the very Asian guy. And the one guy's a little bit bigger, but they're all the same guy. So you go to the first stop, and there's this girl that meets you right off the beginning, and she's a mechanic. And this girl is dressed... She would be banned from, like, a rap video. Like, it is ridiculous. She's wearing the shortest booty shorts you've ever seen in your life. She's wearing a bikini top and a fucking cut-off jacket, and she's fixing your car, so she's bent over in all sorts of different ways. And there's nobody mentions her sexuality, nobody mentions the way she looks or anything. It's just, somebody just threw this girl in this game because
teenagers play it.
I know, but like, haven't we evolved at this
teenagers
point?
Teenagers are the same age, dude.
I know.
That's the best thing about fucking
it is,
teenage girls, they're always teenage.
I'm ashamed to be a guy. The fact that they thought that this was going to, like...
You're an old guy. It's for young guys.
I know, but...
This is going to sell money.
How do we evolve as gamers? How do we evolve as gamers if this is just... Like, this...
All the boys look like girls, and the girls...
Is the game good?
I feel like the Japanese are going to be the last ones on that boat, really. Like, this is... I'm not surprised at all by
Japanese men get to grope in public for free.
Well, I don't know about that. But
haven't you heard?
We were having that conversation about how racist Japanese games are. I mean, we were like going through the Street Fighter characters and just like go through all the Street Fighter characters. They're all racist in some manner. They're all stereotypical on it. So I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm a Western gamer.
I think we just have to play games with blobs and nothing but blobs. Everybody's a blob. You can't discriminate against a blob.
I don't know.
Yeah, but
I just wish like
blobs.
I don't know. I just wish like maybe we can
her blobs are
go
too
a couple
big.
Years without this
her blobs
coming
are
up.
Too big.
Yeah. All right, that was my rant on that.
Cool. Way to bring it down at the end.
I showed you pictures of hot chicks, though. This is a trade-off.
So we have a problem
really
with the way women are portrayed in video games, and then we're going to end the show with our catchphrase.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just say blobbies.
Break it down for us.
So just for the just to cover everything, I'm saying goodbye for Bobby, Chi, Chad, and myself.
Yep.
And for the record, I had no problem with the titties.